power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud sounding cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Appreciate again God's word and appreciate again that we could read it together. And that's just a psalm of praise. I like the line that says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And I've gone through some respiratory illnesses and was praising the Lord for breath. But if you've got breath, praise the Lord, and are conscious of it even, make sure you take a moment to praise the Lord. Anyone got a, just before we have Brother Mike come in, anyone got a praise they'd like to share tonight? Praise, hallelujah, or even a favorite song.
I'll tell you, I've been quite claustrophobic for a long, long time. And I let them put me in that machine today when they did the test on my shoulder. And instead of, you know, freaking out and pushing the thing and getting out of there, I just laid there and was just totally relaxed, like God had a hold of that whole situation.
Yeah, praise the Lord. All right. Appreciate that, Jerry, again. And God is in control, especially if we let him have control. Hallelujah. And I've never been in one of them, but I have been in some tight situations and found it's amazing what praising can do as well, even there or in prayer again. So I appreciate that testimony. Well, it's been good all this week. Again, I've got a whole pile of notes taken. And Brother Mike, you come. And come without crutches tonight.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Maybe I'll bring up my cane tonight.
All right. And I think I started the report there. So
we'll see, won't we? Well, good evening. It's John with me tonight. The book of John again. And chapter 6 tonight. John and chapter 6. As you're turning there, I'm going to take a sip of water. Amen. John and chapter 6. It's good to be in the house of God. I brought my notes tonight again, and I've got 9 pages of notes. I just want you to know that. But I'm not going to preach everything that's on these pages. I overkill a lot of times, amen. And so I want to preach this evening on a thought to you on crossing the line. Crossing the line. Go to John chapter 6 with me, and I want to begin reading in verse 60, where the Bible says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can bear it? Now, he just had the feeding of the 5,000 in the beginning of this chapter. Then he comes to the point where he tells them, you must eat of my body and drink of my blood in order for you to get enter into the kingdom of God, in order for you to be saved. And so his disciples said, man, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, doth this offend you? And what and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Boy, back in heaven, amen. If he says to heaven, what is it? He says, it is it the spirit that quickeneth? The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Now imagine that. He's talking to these, he said, many disciples. And so he had disciples other than just the 12. That means those who followed him, those who obeyed him. And so he makes a statement here again. He says, He says, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. So he knew those that would not believe what he was saying, that he knew those that one which would betray him from the beginning. He says, right at the start of this whole thing, at the start of him calling his disciples, he knew which one in the beginning of that whole thing. For those 3.5 years, he knew who would betray him. So he says, and he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him unto him of my Father. From that time, now watch, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Will you also leave? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Father, thank you for your precious word. Help us tonight, God, as we draw close to you, Father. Help us to understand and receive it with gladness and joy, Father, that you might be magnified upon high. In Christ's precious name, amen. Now, how many of you at one time or another, growing up, you remember the old Disney movie, Davy Crockett? Mm-hmm. You remember the old Davy Crockett, in that movie, there's a scene in that movie at the Alamo where Colonel Travis draws a line on the ground. And he asks the men that want to stay and fight to the death to cross that line. I believe that's what God does to us sometimes. He draws a line and he wants us to cross that line to follow him, to be obedient to him. Every time we are confronted with God's truth, a line is drawn. Amen. Every time we're confronted with the truth of God, a line is drawn and he asks us to cross it. He never forces us. All right, listen to me. He never forces us to cross that line. He just draws the line. In the book of John, we see 3 responses to that drawn line. Jesus had hundreds of followers because he had just fed the 5,000. I wonder how many followed him, preacher, of the 5,000. Many, it says. They left. People were flocking to him from all over because of the signs and the wonders that he was performing. Most of his followers had a shallow commitment. Well, we see that today, don't we? Many born-again believers have a shallow commitment to the things of God. They were just following Jesus to see what they could get out of it. Is he going to feed us again? Is he going to heal us? Is he going to do this? That's the only reason most of them were following him, because they had no commitment. Once they were faced with the truth, they demonstrated what kind of commitment they had. Jesus had been teaching the people and telling them that he is the bread of heaven. And to have eternal life, he must consume his flesh and his blood. This caused many of the followers to leave. Maybe 1,000 of them. Who knows? It doesn't say how many left. The question is, were they following? Why were they following him? Well, let's look again as we go back to the scriptures. There are 3 people that I'd like to consider out of this passage of scripture we looked at tonight. Let's go back to verse 60 again, and I want to come down to verse 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So, number one tonight, if you're taking notes, you might want to write this thought down. We see the person that flees. He leaves. He quits. He stops. You can use any word in there you want. I wrote down the person that flees. So, why do people quit? Why do they give up? Why do they stop? Why do they no longer follow God? Why do they no longer obey the things of the truth of the very word of God? Well, they become offended by the truth. You ever been offended by the truth? Look here. Here's my hand. Amen. because you hear the truth of the Word of God, and sometimes you hear the truth, and you might say this, how come the preacher was talking about me to that preacher? How come the preacher was talking about me to that evangelist? Amen. I was in church one time in Connecticut many, 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 many years ago. The pastor is gone now. He became a dear friend of mine. But the first time I went there for revival meetings, I met him in New York over in the eastern side, right by the Connecticut state line. Him and his family came out and sang in the meetings, and he asked me if I'd come and do a meeting for him. So, Jackie, as soon as I got back in the driveway, and I'm hooking up my trailer, and I'm not even all, I don't even have the electric up yet, and he said, I need to take you for a ride. I said, let me get done, let me get everything hooked up for my wife so she can have air conditioning. It was a hot day. Let me get everything set up, you know, and then we'll go. He said, okay, can you hurry up? So, I mean, literally, it still put me, yeah, I think he had a station wagon, if I remember. We got in that car of his and started down the road, and he started to tell me all the problems in the church. And I said, brother, just stop right there. He said, well, I thought maybe you'd like to have your guns loaded. I said, brother, can I say something to you? Would you let God just do the loading? Amen. And then let me preach, because now you're telling me these things, and I'm going to have a hard time preaching about some of that. I'm going to bring it up, and then I'm going to think, man, why did I bring that up? Is it the Spirit of God or is it the flesh of a man? So I don't want you to tell me what to say, because the truth, listen, the truth will offend you. And the truth offends me, amen? Especially when you know the truth, and fellows, and your wife tells you, yada, 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 I don't want to admit it, amen? Or your husband tells you, yada, 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 and I don't know about you, but I don't want to admit that. I don't want to admit what they're telling me, because the truth will offend. But we ought not to be offended by it, because it's the truth of the very will of God. They quit because they were having trouble with things. He was saying, sometimes the truth can be very offensive. God's word can be like that at times, amen? These people were offended by what Jesus was saying because it was true, and they were under conviction. When one comes under conviction of the word of God, you have there are two possible responses to conviction. You know that? One is you can rebel. Ever rebelled about the conviction that God speaks to your heart and you know what he is saying is right, but you rebel against that? And sometimes we rebel like this. That's good for him. That is good for her. That's exactly what that person needed. And really, God's speaking to us. Amen. And we need to, or the other response is you can repent. The people here chose to rebel because they found the truth was offensive. So when we hear the truth, we're either going to rebel or we're going to repent. One of the two. There's no halfway point. Somebody says, well, you know, I'm going to slow up on that. I'm going to watch my attitude. I'm going to do these things. But they don't repent. They don't get up, they don't come to the altar, they don't do anything, they just let it go and say, well, I'm going to be okay, because that's just how life is. I'm married, and I expect that just because I'm married, I expect things are going to happen, so therefore I just live with it, yada, 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 yada. My friend, listen, don't be like that. Don't be like that. Jesus, because he did not meet their expectations, they were offended. Because he might not have met their... They were looking for a king to come and rescue them from the Roman rule. Jesus was, in fact, the King of Kings. No king has ever had the authority of Jesus, but they did not see it. I think many of us have false expectations sometimes. Some people teach that when you decide to follow Jesus, life becomes easy. It doesn't. Amen. It doesn't. I like to say that when you come to Jesus, I like to tell people, just because you don't come to Jesus, don't think it's going to be a bed of roses. As a matter of fact, once you get saved, it's going to be harder sometimes. Because you're under attack of the devil. You're under attack of his horde. You're under attack from sometimes other Christians. You're under attack you're just under attack, period. Some people believe that when you live for Jesus, you won't face any trouble. You will face trouble. Just because you live for them doesn't mean you escape problems or difficulties or hardships. Some people believe that God will give you everything you want hey, newsflash, he won't. Amen, he won't. Well, somebody said, oh, no, come on, Brother Mike. Doesn't the Bible say that if we pray believing that he'll give us the desires of our heart? You know when that happens? When your desire becomes what God desires for you, your desires change. You get the desires of your heart. The problem is we pray out of the desires of the flesh. So many times our desires, well, he wants us to pray for what he wants for us. And he'll meet our needs. I mean, he'll take care of us. Those expectations will never meet, will never be met in this life. It's not going to happen. We need to preach and teach the truth, not just that people want to hear. There are two ways you can make sure you stay on track. Well, number one is to have the right mind. Let this mind be in you, which what? Which was in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we need to have the right minded. Be right minded. We talked a little bit about that last night. And then be receptive to the truth of God. In other words, get rid of your own personal perspective and expectation. Just trust that God knows what is best for him to obey his word. We are shown the way. We are to go. We can stay on track. We need to be right-minded to stay on track. And then we need to be receptive of the truth. This is enough just to hear truth. You hear truth. You come to this church. I guarantee you come to this church. And when pastor preaches, or other people in this pulpit are preaching, and pastor, I know you, that if they're not preaching what is right, and you're here, they could be in the pulpit very long, amen. He'll step up, he'll finish your message, amen. He'll preach it the right way. Why? Because the truth of the word of God. We ought not to have heresy in the house of God, amen. We need to receive the truth. Earlier, I told you that to allow the truth to change us. This means that we must be teachable. Teachable. Some people aren't teachable. Amen. But we need to be teachable. We need to be teachable to the things of the truth of the very word of God. Most people want truth, but once they hear it, they do not always accept it. Whether you accept the truth or not, nothing can change it. It is still the truth. What God does, what good does it do anyone to reject the truth? Well, the Bible says Jesus is truth, John 14:6. What Jesus said to him, what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Everyone needs to receive him. We need to allow God to mold us and shape us into the people God would have us to be. So you had the first group of people. They are fleers, or they quit, they stop, they run, they hide, they get away, they don't want anything to do because they heard the truth of the very word of God. Look at verse 70 with me, and we're going to come back to verse 67 that in a little bit. Verse 70 says, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it is he that should betray him, being one of the 12. So we see the second fellow, not just one that flees, but the second guy is one that is a faker. He's fake. He's not real when it comes to being a disciple. He put on a good show. Not any of the other disciples knew that Judas Iscariot was going to betray Jesus Christ. Not one of them knew that. So, you know, they always show the picture of the Last Supper, and the Bible talks about how you dipped in with Jesus the bread in, and then he ate the bread. And Jesus, remember, said that one that dips with me at the same time in the scriptures, that he's the one that's going to betray me. I don't know. I don't think. Can I be honest with you, Pastor? I don't think any of the disciples really saw that. Because none of them picked up on it. They did not know that Judas was going to betray Christ. Now listen to me. There are born again believers that are not born again. They're good fakers. They're good fakers. I run into a lot of them. And what gets me sometimes, Pastor, is the fact that you have an individual who's born again, or say they're born again, and they're doing things in the house of God, doing things outside the house of God, and there's no indication that they have ever really been born again, other than what they say, other than how they dress, other than how they maybe look, other than how they talk when they're around other Christians. In fact, I've even met some that are around other Christians that aren't very good. Amen. The faker. person, Judas, the ultimate pretender, the fraud of all frauds, amen. That's what he was. No one likes Judas. You like Judas? No, none of us like Judas, amen. Well, you know, without Judas, the scriptures would not have been fulfilled the way God wanted them to be fulfilled. The Bible talks about him being betrayed, amen. How often do we actually act just like him? I would suggest that we do it a lot more often than what we want people to think about. You ever fake it? Say things you're okay when in reality they're really not okay? You ever act like everything between you and God is just fine when in reality you might have sin in your life that you have not confessed yet? Sure, we've all been there at one time or another. Amen. Hopefully, the longer you're saved, the less times that comes your way. Hopefully. And if it does come your way, don't give in. I think we often care. Sometimes, wait, why do people fake it? Why do we act like we're doing what we're supposed to do, or supposed to be doing, when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing? I think we often care more about what people think than what God thinks. Amen. I think we often care more about what people think than what God thinks. The only ones we fool when we fake it are those that see us, and they're not always all of them, but and they see us and ourselves. God isn't fooled. Verse 70 to 71, we are told that Jesus knew who was going to betray him. Judas had everyone fooled, but Jesus was not fooled. Two ways to keep it real: the approval of God, not the acceptance of man. The approval of God, but not the acceptance of man. What happens when we seek man's acceptance instead of God's approval? For some reason, we seem to care more about what people think than what God thinks. So we look to be accepted by the people. Pastor, I've been in many, many, many churches that if you don't do a certain thing or act a certain way or say a certain thing or look a certain way, then you are judged, that you aren't saved. I mean, I've heard that. Because you don't look like me, you're not saved. Because you don't cut your hair, well, I don't want you to cut your hair like mine, amen. Pastor, you're getting thin up there, I just want to say, amen. And I saw you when you came back after that swim today, and there's a little spot there. You can't hide that when it gets wet, amen. And, the idea is, if you don't look like me or do what I do or how I am, I know a pastor, listen to me, I know a pastor, grew up with this guy. He got saved, became a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hard as nails on things. I mean, hard as nails. And then I go out and I see there's a change that has taken place. Man, he used to preach against the television so hard, brother, that when he had his church in Ohio, he got all his men to bring their TV sets up behind the church, line up with shotguns and rifles and pistols, and he said, charge! And they charged, and they blew up everyone on TV sets. And he'd preach, and he would say, listen, he said, if you have an antenna out, stay hand. Back then you had antennas hanging on your roof. He said, if you have an antenna up on top of your roof, he said, that's a devil's pitchfork. He said, you need to rip that stinking thing down. And I go out to Washington State within the preacher revival meeting, and the first thing I see when I pull in the driveway is the devil's eyeball, because he had a big old satellite dish out there, amen. Is what he said. Well, that was here when I got here, Brother Mike. And he went, that's all good. But I walk in the house, and he's got a great big old TV set too, amen. And things began to change. But he was the kind of guy, listen, he was the kind of guy, Pastor, that he was the pastor. So if he told you to do something in the church or out of the church, you were expected to do it. He had a guy in his church. I know the guy. I remember the guy from down in Virginia Beach years ago. And guy was rebellious about some things, but he told the guy, you need to quit that job where you're at. You need to go over here and get another job. You know, I don't know, brother. I told him one time, I said, brother, I have a hard time listening to God, let alone listen to you. Amen? So I'm just simply saying, my friend, we got to be so careful. And then we need to serve out of love, not out of liability. We need to serve out of love. You love God? Amen? We need to serve God because we love God. not out of liability because somebody's going to say something to us if we don't serve God. You know, oh, if I don't come to church one day, the pastor's going to say, where were you at? Well, when I you might, and I have, but I used to tell my people, I'd call them, if they were there on a Sunday, I'd be on the phone Monday morning because I didn't know where they were at. I didn't know something was up. And so I would make a joke with them. I'd say, hello, this is the Gestapo. Missed you yesterday. Where were you? And, you know, this is the SS. That's Sunday school. We didn't see you yesterday. Amen. And I had teachers sometimes. When I first took that church pastor, I had teachers, Sunday school teachers, that did not show up and would not tell anybody that they weren't going to be there. Or they'd not show up. And they'd be out doing something else. Well, you know, I had a program to run. I had Sunday school to have. I had kids coming. I had, you know, and my wife would pick up kids and bring them in. We had something going on. We didn't have a whole lot of people. We were running about 35 when I went there. When I left, we were running about 47, you know, in 3.5 years later. And I lost a lot. I lost 12 people at one time on top of that. Amen. Praise the Lord. It was good that they left. But I didn't do anything to make them leave. They just left because they didn't like what? The truth of the Word of God. We need to serve not out. We need to serve out of love because we love God, not out of our liability. When we serve the Lord because of our love for Him, it is no longer, listen, it's no longer a chore. It's no longer difficult. It's no longer hard. It's no longer hard to show up for work days. It's no longer hard to show up for visitation. It's no longer hard to serve the Lord. Amen. No longer hard when you're asked to do something. Praise the Lord. Amen. My pastor sometimes says we're going to do something. I'm back home, brother. We got visitation. I show up. I'm there. Amen. And at my son-in-law's church, he runs visitation one day, I'm there. I'm not even a member of his church, but I'm there. Amen. I just think we just need to get out of ourselves and get in the Lord. Serving out of love shows that Jesus is on the inside, and it makes a difference on the outside. You serve God, it'll make a difference on the outside. But even, I think I just skipped one. Let's go back. Look at verse 67 with me. We see the fleer. We see the faker, and here we see the follower. Look at verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now, he knows all things. I think he knew, amen. But man's flesh. And so, immediately what happens? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Because thou hast the words of what? Eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ. You know what that Christ is? God in the flesh. That's what the Christ is, amen. We're sure you are. The Son, that Christ, the Son of the living God. That Christ that the scriptures talk about all the way from Genesis, all the way through Malachi. That Christ is, we believe, we know, we understand, we are with you, we are on your side. Peter, boy, what a couple of things I want you to see. True followers of Christ, listen to me, are not perfect. Amen? We're not perfect. Peter sure had some flaws, didn't he? You think about Peter, he denied Jesus. He didn't want to go. Remember, he did not want to go visit with the Gentiles. Remember what happened with Peter? He got and he went to the other side of the room. Amen. He didn't want to go with the Gentiles. He wasn't going to do it. He stuck his foot in his mouth all the time. Did he not? Oh Lord, I'll not deny you. And then boy, the Lord says what? Before that cock crows three times, you'll deny me. Amen. And he denied Jesus Christ. But even with all his flaws, he still followed Christ. Be a follower of Christ. No matter the hardships you have, no matter what you're going through, no matter the difficulties, listen, you ought to be reading your Bible every day, but if you miss a day, go back and read more the next day, or go backwards and read more the day before. I don't know, man. I'm just simply saying, just read the Bible. You're not perfect. You're not perfect. You're not perfect. There's times I get up, Pastor, I'm not feeling good, and I can't. My eyes are crossed, and I can't see the words on the Bible to start with. And I might miss a day, but I get back to it. Amen. You cannot quit. You've got to read the Word of God. He still followed Christ because he was convinced that there was no one else that deserved devotion like Christ deserved. There's three thoughts about a true follower. A true disciple will receive a heart change, not just some head knowledge. Amen? Not just some head knowledge. When Jesus comes and our old self goes out, at least then, at least that's the way it should be. He comes and the old leaves. Amen. The new comes, the old leaves. The new comes, the old leaves. That's how it ought to be. A genuine follower of Christ doesn't just know what to do, because we know what to do. Amen. Now, how many of you have a checklist in your own mind, your own heart, about sin? Yeah. What is wrong, what is right? What is wrong, what is right? What is wrong? We all have it. Amen. So, if I asked you tonight, what is sin, you'd be able to tell me what can you do that hinders your relationship with God. Everyone in this room would be able to tell me what hinders your relationship with God. Amen. You'd be able to tell me. Why? Because you're not stupid. You've got some knowledge. You've heard some truth. You've got some understanding here in your head. But to receive a change, not just to have head knowledge. When Jesus comes in, our old self goes out. At least that's the way it should be. A genuine follower of Christ doesn't know what to do. They show the know will be growing in it and living it constantly. Does that mean they won't fall? Absolutely not. But it means when they fall, preacher, they're going to get back up. They're not going to stay down. They give in to something, and it means they're not going to quit. They're not going to throw in the towel. They're going to cross that line where Jesus wants them to be and do what's right as a child of God. Satan knows the truth. Demons know who Jesus is. Knowing is only half the battle. A true follower gains knowledge by studying the Word of God. And when God draws that line, they cross it through obedience. We are transformed from the inside out, not from the outside in. Too many churches are transforming people from the outside in, and that never works. Now respond, here's another thought, respond with a genuine commitment to Christ. Quitters follow for a while until the going gets tough, and then they bail. They get out, they run. Pretenders follow outwardly, but inwardly their hearts are far from the Lord. Judas followed Christ outwardly. He everywhere Jesus went, Judas went. I wonder, because he controlled the money anyway, amen. But everywhere Jesus went, Judas went. Judas followed the Lord. And if somebody looked at Judas and talked to him, maybe they thought that he was really a pretty good Christian, pretty good follower of Christ, amen. Maybe in the upper room where Jesus breathes on them and says, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Maybe they thought Judas did the same thing. I think if Judas was there, I don't think he got the Holy Ghost, amen, preacher. he got the devil, let me tell you. A true follower follows the Lord no matter where he might lead him. A true follower of Christ isn't a Christian when it is just convenient. They are consistent. They live for Jesus even when it is inconvenient. Our commitments are tested by trials. When trouble comes, do you stand firm with your Savior? A follower does. And risk, another thought. Sometimes we just need to risk everything by crossing the line and trusting Christ. But we know the truth. We have to step across to His side. No matter what it's going to cost us, just do what God would have us to do. Amen. You might step across that line. I know people, pastor, who have followed Christ, stepped across that line, and it cost them their marriage. Not because they didn't give, not because they got mean by crossing that line, because they got right with God, and they loved God, and they started loving their family, and their family couldn't handle that the dad or the mother, or that both parents, I told you a story today about that, or that both parents, and all of a sudden get on fire for God, go to church, quit doing some things they were doing, and now the kids who prayed for them for years don't want to go to church, become rebellious. Because mom and dad, when they got saved, they changed. Yeah. They just didn't get saved. They just didn't get saved because, and to go to heaven. The Holy Spirit was working in their hearts. Well, we need that, amen. Our commitments are tested by our trials many times when trouble comes. Do you stand firm with Christ? Do you stand on His side of the line? Risk everything to cross the line. In that movie, Davy Crockett, and I hate saying movies from the pulpit, amen. In that film, many, many years ago, when it was an old time, you know, when there was not the filthy language, when you could watch something like that, a film, and you could feel good about watching it, and there were some things in there that would point you in the right direction sometimes as far as morality and other things went. But in the Davy Crockett that I mentioned, those crossed the line. Those that crossed the line and stayed did so knowing that they would lose their lives fighting for what they believed in. If you remember the film, you'll remember this: that Davy Crockett stepped across first. And then the other ones followed him. Can I tell you what? Jesus drew that line. He's over there. He's already stepped across. We need to be obedient to Him as the children of God. Would you risk your life for the Lord? That is what it takes to follow Jesus. Amen. I think of these missionaries many times on the foreign field that their lives are threatened. Some have been killed in the foreign field. Some over by Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan over the years. In Pakistan, in Myanmar. Some say Myanmar, I say Myanmar. And that part of India where that they call it the Golden Gate or the Golden City or the Golden... You know, some pastor today, you try to get in there today, there's some problems over there right now. With the Muslim, you go to Papua New Guinea, and half of Papua New Guinea, this half it comes sort of like down here, that half, you can go in, you can preach all day long, and they love your preaching, they want tracts. This half up here is being overrun by Muslims. And so there are some down here. I had a man come to me, pastor, in Papua New Guinea, and he said, "Would you please pray for me?" He says, I'm getting married. He said, "Pray for me that I can get the money." His parents want $10,000. Can you imagine that? To marry his wife. He said, "Well, we're going to get married. We're going to get married. And when we get married, we're going to that other region to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." That was 2006 I was there. That's a long time ago. That's 18 years, amen. I'm just wondering. Whatever happened to that man and whatever happened to his new bride. I guarantee you that after 18 years, they finally got married somehow, some way, some shape, some form. Maybe they're waiting for the parents to pass away. I don't know. Are you fleeing? Are you faking? Or are you following? The line's been drawn. Are you going to cross it? The line's been drawn. Some need to cross it. Some people need to cross it for the first time. I'm hoping, I believe, all of you in this room tonight are saved, born again, amen. Maybe somebody's watching on the video over there that's not saved, preacher. My heart goes out. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you know, you need to put your faith and trust in Him. So you just need to cross that line to Jesus, amen. And let Him save your soul. Some of you have heard the truth before, but you quit when it got tough. You quit because things didn't line up your way. Don't do that today. Respond to God's work and call in your life. Some have been coming for a while, but you've been sometimes they've been just faking it, faking their Christianity. They're saved. You know, there's a difference between being saved and being a Christian. You can be saved and not be a Christian. Is a follower of Christ. You might be saved and going to heaven, but are you a Christian? You need to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You might have me fooled. You might have the pastor fooled. But listen to me. God is not fooled. Be real today and cross that line and do what Jesus would have you to do as a child of God. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm not sure where you're at in your Christian life. I know that God wants to do something. If you're here tonight and you spoke to your heart, I believe that He wants to do something in you. Would you cross that line this evening? How many right now, just with an upraised hand, say, I'm willing to cross that line? God bless you. How about, come on, let's be honest. I'm willing to cross that line. Amen. I'm willing to cross that line. Maybe tonight you're saved, but you haven't been acting a lot like a Christian other than coming to church. If that's you, could I just pray for you tonight? Anybody like that tonight? Just say, pray for me. I'm saved, but man, I'm just not doing what I ought to do. Cross that line tonight. God bless you. Amen. Cross that line tonight. Father, thank you for your precious word, God. Again, and the truth of it, Father. And God, how the like what you tell us, the truth will make us free, Father. Help us, Lord, to walk in that freedom. Help us to cross that line, Lord. Help us to do what we need to do in obedience to you as one of your children, Lord, that you would have all of the honor and all of the glory, that you'd be magnified upon high. Father, I pray that you'd have your will and your way accomplished here tonight. For those who raise their hand, help them tonight, Father, as they walk to trust you, to do what you'd have them to do, to be obedient to thee, that you'd have all the honor and all of glory. In Christ's precious name, I pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. You know what's next. Let's stand to our feet. And the Lord spoke to your heart. I want you to step out of your seat and you come. Come on. You just come. If you can't kneel down, then I want you to sit up here on the pew. You come right now. The Lord spoke to your heart. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And let God do right now in your heart what He wants to do. Cross that line. Cross that line and be what He would have you to be as the child of God. Preacher.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate the message. 826 in your song book. 826. Let's go ahead and decide to follow Jesus. Praise the Lord. 826 in our song book. And watch the words of this old hymn again. And that's where we're at. I like that. Though none would join me, still I would follow. And 826. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none would join me, still I would follow. Though none would join me, still I would follow. Though none would join me, still I would follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Praise the Lord. Good to see that line tonight. You may be seated for just a minute. This is our last service again with Brother Patterson. And I'd just like to go ahead and say out loud that it's dangerous to have a preacher stay in your house. Because you get to see everything he does, and he gets to see everything you do. Right. Praise the Lord. And Brother Mike, it's been such a blessing to have you here all this week. I know it's been a struggle physically with things going on with arthritis and everything else that showed up. But it's been just our joy again to have Brother Patterson with us for the week. And appreciate again, I know again we will, the love offering, we'll tally that up here in a second. But what a joy again to have a part in this ministry again to see Brother Mike going around. And preaching, yes, Beverly.
I was just going to say it's been a joy to have him in our house. And even to see, I know him and I've known him for years, but he's still the same old.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's good. And
well, in your house, I might lie. I'm just saying.
It might
exaggerate. Behind the pulpit, look out.
Exaggerate, too, again. So,
never.
some of you will know what this is, but I got Mike to feel the temperature rising off of a peach and a cantaloupe mixed together, and
if they don't know, tell them, preacher. Explain what you did to me.
You told again about it. What was that race you showed a video of there? The Newfoundland boat race again, and so that reminded me. I said I got to do this to him. So we were up this morning having peach and cantaloupe together, and so I don't want to tell this on Facebook because I won't be able to pull this on people anymore.
Yeah.
So I mixed the peach and cantaloupe together and said, "Wow, look at that! There's a chemical reaction happening there, and you can feel the heat coming off of it." So he reached over the field, the heat come over, and I went wham on his hand and splashed it into the fruit bowl. And then I fell out of my chair laughing.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. But it's been just a joy again to have this week. And I know our attendance hasn't gone. I know again that you've invited folks and they haven't come. Again, I apologize for that. I don't know what to say about that, you know, but that happens again. And boy, we've seen it happen here. It seemed like in Dresden more than not. So I appreciate, again, people coming out and just rejoicing and looking for revival. Those that had work schedules that kept them from here, it's just been a joy, again, to have our church united together, looking for a revival, looking for God to do some great things here. So it's been a tremendous blessing. Brother Mike, get your goodbyes into him. He'll be taking off tomorrow morning at dawn. Okay, tomorrow morning sometime again after breakfast. And we appreciate again Brother Patterson being in town. Father, praise you and thank you. Thank you for all we've seen and heard and said and done this week. Thank you again for decisions made at this altar. Thank you, Father, for invites that have been gone out to people to ask them and to invite them and to encourage them to seek your face and to seek revival. And Father, I pray again that even those that went out, they'd not return void, and they had again some gospel with them. And so I pray again, Father, that each flyer that's gone out, each invitation that's been made, Father, that you'd tug on hearts still. Father, that we could again see your name honored and glorified as it was in all the preaching this week, as it was again in our own lives as we've been just saturated in your presence. Father, thank you that you speak to us and your word speaks to us. Thank you for what we've seen and heard this week. We'll give you all the praise now and ask these things in the name of Christ and for his name's sake and for his kingdom to come. In Christ's name, amen. All right, amen. Praise the Lord.
Evangelist, two things up that mess that...